Blog Talk Radio. Chapter 26, Parents' Legacy to Children.
The Law of Heredity. The physical and mental condition of the parents is perpetuated to their offspring. This is a matter that is not duly considered. Wherever the habits of the parents are contrary to physical law, the injury done to themselves will be repeated in the future generations. By physical, mental, and moral culture, all may become co-workers with Christ. Very much depends upon the parents. It lies with them whether they shall bring into the world children who will prove a blessing or a curse. The nobler the aims, the higher the mental and spiritual endowments, and the better developed the physical powers of the parents, the better will be the life equipment they give their children. In cultivating that which is best in themselves, parents are exerting an influence to mold society and to uplift future generations. Many parents are lamentably ignorant. Those who have charge of God's property in the souls and bodies of the children formed in His image should erect barriers against the sensual indulgence of this age, which is ruining the physical and moral health of thousands. If the many crimes of this time were traced to their true cause, it would be seen that they are chargeable to the ignorance of fathers and mothers who are indifferent on this subject. Health and life itself is being sacrificed to this lamentable ignorance. Parents, if you fail to give your children the education that God makes it your duty to give them, both by precept and example, you must answer to your God for the results. These results will not be confined merely to your children. They will reach through generations. Just as the one thistle permitted to grow in the field produced a harvest of its kind, the sins resulting from your neglect will work to ruin all who come within the sphere of their influence. Luxurious living and the use of wine corrupt the blood, inflame the passions, and produce diseases of every kind. But the evil does not end here. Parents leave maladies as a legacy to their children, as a rule. Every intemperate man who rears children transmits his inclinations and evil tendencies to his offspring. He gives them disease from his own inflamed and corrupted blood. Licentiousness, disease, and imbecility are transmitted as an inheritance of woe from father to son and from generation to generation. And this brings anguish and suffering into the world and is no less than a repetition of the fall of man. And yet, with scarcely a thought or care, men and women of the present generation indulge intemperance by surfeiting and drunkenness, and thereby leave as a legacy for the next generation disease, enfeebled intellects, and polluted morals. Fathers and mothers may study their own character in their children. They may often read humiliating lessons as they see their own imperfections reproduced in their sons and daughters. While seeking to repress and correct in their children hereditary tendencies to evil, parents should call to their aid double patience, perseverance, and love. When a child reveals the wrong traits which it has inherited from its parents, shall they storm over this reproduction of their own defects? No, no. Let parents keep a careful watch over themselves, guarding against all coarseness and roughness, lest these defects be seen once more in their children. Manifest the meekness and gentleness of Christ in dealing with the wayward little ones. Always bear in mind that they have received their perversity as an inheritance from the father or mother. Then bear with the children who have inherited your own trait of character. Parents must trust implicitly in the power of Christ to transform the tendencies to wrong which have been transmitted to their children. Have patience, fathers and mothers. Often your past neglect will make your work hard, but God will give you strength if you will trust in Him. Deal wisely and tenderly with your children.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. I will play a song before we get started. Thank you for joining us. Happy Preparation Day for those that are still in the preparation time hour, and happy Sabbath for those that are in the Sabbath hour.
Come the sound of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, strings of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me so.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray, brothers and sisters. Kind and loving Father, we thank you for blessing us with another Sabbath, which is upon us. A new day is about to start, and the preparation day, Friday, is fleeting us, is leaving us. And we just thank you for this time that we can come together and sit at your feet and to glorify you, magnify your name, and praise you for who you are, our high priest, our King of Kings, Lord of Lords. There's none like you. And we just thank you for being our substitute. Thank you for being the one to shed your precious blood so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. I ask that you will bless each and every one of my brothers and sisters and their families and friends, those that are associated with them also. We ask that a special blessing be upon them, that they will draw closer to you and come to know you as their personal Savior. I thank you ever so much, Lord, because it means so much to be not only a Sabbath keeper, but a doer of your word, and also in being prepared on the Sabbath to sit at your feet and getting everything done. It feels so good to not rush, but to just welcome you with my brothers and sisters as we come together and unify in love and just praising you and communing with others. We just thank you for that opportunity. Bless each and every one in Japan, South Korea, in the Netherlands, here in the United States, the Caribbean, wherever they may be listening, and those that will be listening to the rebroadcast, answer their prayer. Bless them abundantly more than they can think or act. We pray all these in Jesus' mighty name. We pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord again, brothers and sisters. Welcome this evening. I will share in the reading of the testimony. Amen. I had a little background noise. Excuse me. Okay. And this is taken from Christ's Object Lesson, page 25.1, Christ's Object Lesson. And it reads, Christ's purpose in parable teaching was in direct line with the purpose of the Sabbath. God gave to men the memorial of his creative power that they might discern him in the works of his hand. The Sabbath bid us behold in his creative work the glory of the Creator. And it was because he desired us to do this that Jesus bound up his precious lesson with the beauty of nature, the beauty of natural things. Oh, the holy rest day above all other days. We shall study the message that God has written for us in nature. We should study the Savior's parables where he spoke them in the fields and groves under the open sky amongst the grass and flowers. As we come close to the heart of nature, Christ makes his present real to us and speak to our hearts and love. Again, that was Christ's Object Lesson, page 25, paragraph 1. So we see in nature that the Lord speak to us, you know, and all the things that he have made and created is for our purpose to draw closer to him and to be still and know that he is God and to ask him if, you know, to open our understanding if we're not able to understand the things in nature and how he speaks to us. Amen? And I've been reading Hebrews this week, and I just want to share a verse in Hebrews chapter 4 before I open the line. Again, welcome, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. Amen? And I'll start from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 1, it said, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, and any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the work were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise." This is verse 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 4 now. "And God did rest the seventh day from all his work. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of" what? "Unbelief." So they didn't enter because of unbelief. And it says again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if verse 8, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remained therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So this is what we're doing now, brothers and sisters. Amen. We're entering into the rest, the Sabbath day rest of God. So now I will go to the line. Thank you for joining us, brothers and sisters. 225-337. Good evening. Your line is now open. Can you hear me? I believe this is Sister Leola. Can you hear me? Your line might be on mute. Okay, I'm not sure if it's my line or I can't hear you, Sister Leola. Okay, I'll come back to her. 985-232, your line is now open.
Okay. Good evening, sisters and brothers.
Amen.
This is
Good evening.
Brenda calling from Hummel, Louisiana. I just want to thank the Lord for this preparation day. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening up my line. Good to hear your voice. I would like to read a prayer. Dear Lord, we are thankful for your word. Provide us many witness accounts to shed light on the destruction we may face. We will live by the example and finish the race to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for his goodness and his mercy. We want to follow him, and this is what we're trying to do. We want to live by example. And it's an example and follow his race. I just want to just ask a prayer for special prayer for Sister Tamika and her daughter, and prayer for Edwin Light, all our family and friends, prayer for the sick, the homeless, all the nursing home and the ones on the street and wherever, the bereaved family. And just keep my family in prayers, and keep the power and Alex Nation in prayer. And just want to just thank the Lord for us another Friday on the line again, just asking him to forgive us for our sin and bless us one more time. Amen. Brother John,
Yeah, it's Brother John. I'd like to say hello to everyone and on this preparation day. And I just wanted to share that that God is so mighty. I think back on a lot of times I was told I couldn't do certain things, and even in my mind I didn't believe I could do certain things. But I realized through God, you know, through God that you could do many things that we thought we wasn't capable of doing. And it's a blessing to know, to realize that. And I can, like the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I really believe that, and because it's true. And everything in the Bible is true. So once you read upon it and just have to learn and acknowledge it, the things you read about, acknowledge it and take it to heart. And like you say, just learn as much as you can and never stop learning about the Bible and God and the Word. And just life's going to be more and more enriched and better as the days go by. So just wanted to share that. Keep the faith, stay strong, moving on. Keep moving forward, put it like that. So through God. Anyways, God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And for you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for your testimony and just being a part of our family here on Advent Light Ministry. Each and everyone that comes on, you know, we're a big family. We might be different states, countries and different nationality, different upbringing, but we know in Christ we are one. And getting together, coming together, learning, growing, start here on earth. Because in heaven there will be no division. We all will be together. So this is a where we come together and learn and strive to be overcomer. And it's such a blessing to meet and to know all my brothers and sisters. Some I've met, most of them, and some I've met just through the line. But it's a blessing to hear each and every one of you and to come on and share. Please press 1 if you would like to share. Welcome, Sister Katie, and each and everyone that's joining us. Don't wait till the appointed time, brothers and sisters, to share, because we will start at 8 o'clock. And you know, if we don't have time, others can share either on Sunday or Thursday at Health Reform Thursday or last day event on Sunday. So please press 1, so you will have time to share. Amen. So I'll go to the next. Sister Leola line, see if she's ready. 225-337. Your line is now open.
Amen. Amen. The devil is busy. I could not find the phone. I heard you calling me. It was on mute. So thank God. I have a little reading. I want to read from Maranatha in November the 21st. It say, look at the things eternal. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18. It say, in the church, we will put on the robe of Christ's righteousness, withdrawn from all allegiance with the world. There is before her the throne of the bright and glorious day. God promised to her will stand fast forever. Truth, passing by those who despise and reject it, will triumph. Although at times apparently retort, its progress has never been checked. Endowed with divine energy, it will cut its way through the strongest barriers and triumph over every obstacle. What sustained the Son of God during his life of toils and sacrifice? He saw the results of the travail of his soul and was satisfied. Looking into eternity, he beheld the happiness of those who through his humiliation had received the pardon and everlasting life. His ear caught the shout of the redeemed. He heard the ransomed one singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. We may have a vision of future, the blessedness of heaven. In the Bible are revealed visions of future glory, seen picture by the hand of God. These are the dear to his church. By faith, we may stand on the threshold of eternal city. Hear the gracious welcome given to those who in this life cooperate with Christ, regarding it as the honor of suffered the world or spoken. Come ye blessed of my Father. They cast their crowns at the feet of the Redeemer, exclaiming, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Matthew 25:34, Revelation 5:12-13. There the redeemed greet those who led them to the Savior and all united in praises. Him who died that human being might have the life that measure with the life of God. The conflict is over. Tribulation and strife are at the end. Songs of victory full all heaven as the ransom ones take up the joyful strain. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The lies again and triumph and conquer. Oh, what a praise. And I just praise God that my witnessing to others won't be in vain, my brothers and sisters, because as I was out earlier today, I shared those precious words with those people, and I just plead with them to read it. I said, because you're going to see the end time with these words, and then right now, it's going to show the end time. And if you have not heard it yet, you will hear it soon. So I say, please read it, and not only yourself, please don't throw it away. Pass it on to others, because the power is in this word that you yourself might be saved. So I just want to thank God for this reading, brothers and sisters, because the power is in the word of God. Because what did Christ say? He is the word. So the word of God, we should read and study. So I just want to thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. I want to thank our Father, our Savior, for blessing us with another Sabbath. I am so grateful to be able to say that I can come on the prayer line, and as the time is coming to draw on, God is with us tonight. So may God keep us and bless us. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla.
Amen.
God bless all my sisters, and happy Sabbath.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for sharing in that reading. Praise the Lord. We know the Lord is soon to come. It will be a glorious time, and heaven is so cheap. You know, it's free. It's a free gift, but we have to surrender all our will, our desire, every little thing that so easily beset us, everything that is not of God, we have to surrender so we can be saved, so that we can see our God. Amen. So it's a blessing. Thank you again for sharing that reading. We have a couple more hands. Again, welcome, brothers and sisters. May the Lord continue to bless you this evening, Brother Eugene. We haven't heard from him in a while. He's going to be on to share with us this evening. So please have your Bible and your pen. If you need to text someone and call them to join us. And we also want to thank the Lord for each and every one of you. 240-988. Good evening. Your line is now open.
Good evening and happy Sabbath, beloved. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening up my line. I just want to give God praises. I know my voice has been limited as I'm back at work full-fledged, and it just has been very tedious. The program that I'm in is just like really, really tedious. And I just want to thank God for his faithfulness towards me. I mean, towards me and to my family. I haven't heard my mom on as yet, but I know that God is doing mighty things with her and her healing of the eye. She's strengthened. I know that she has been hosting some of the, the Advent Light Ministry recently again, after she has gone through her mini surgery. So I just want to thank God for that. And I know when things are getting really busy, I speak to my mom at least once, at least a minimum. I would say a minimum of like, what, 3-4 times a day. However, since I've been back at work and in this program, I haven't been able to speak to her. We have gone days, and it is just so surreal. But I do want to share something with you all, how God is perfect. As I said, I'm in this program. It is really, really tedious. I mean, I have not been pressed like this for quite some time, right? And so I had fallen back with one of the class because my aunt died, and, you know, I had to travel and do all of that stuff. So wonderful professor, and gave me some extension on it. And so I was kind of like three assignments kind of behind now. And I was like, you know, okay, you know, I pray. Every day I'm praying. I'm like, God, please give me the strength. You know, give me the strength. Help me to do this. I'm still doing my regular job. Help me to do this. I'm telling you, beloved, I have knocked that down to current. So I had knocked out the three through Christ Jesus because I didn't know what to write. And so I'm like, you know, God, please help me. Tell me what I need to write. These research stuff, please tell me. And with his guidance through the Holy Spirit, I was able to write, get caught up with all three of the papers and got my score, got 100 on them. And so I know that is God. However, today, I think there was two things that were due, which was strange because normally you get one assignment that is due on Thursday and one is due on Sunday. So with any event, in that, I finished up, I got caught up, I mean, was just like working through and got caught up. However, there was another one that was due today, and I was like, that's kind of strange. My brain couldn't wrap around it. I told you, God gave me the other two. So I finished up the other two, and for some reason, my mind could not comprehend what really he wanted me to come up with, because I believe it was not enough time for me to construct that. And so I started to write it, right? And the sun is getting ready to set shortly. It set already, but when I was writing it, the sun didn't set. And I was like, okay, I need to. And normally I don't do anything on Friday because after I leave work, my brain just like whatever. So I finish up what I needed to do at work, send in one of the assignments. And I said, okay, I'm going to come home and I'm going to quickly finish this one up. I had an idea as to some of the information, but some of the information I didn't know. I couldn't get it. And so I'm here and, you know, I did prepare a good quick meal. Bless God for plant-based meal. And so I prepare a good meal and I started to write this thing. And I just started to write, just was writing. And I was like, I can't wrap my brain around this particular thing that you're asking us to do. However, I'm able to talk about this. And I was just like, I did it. He said he wanted 5 pages. It wasn't 5 pages yet. And I was like, I'm done because the Sabbath was coming up. And I was like, I'm done. When I went back, I'm coming close to the Sabbath now. And I went back to post what I had. Let me tell you this, beloved. I went back to post what I have, and for some reason, the date wasn't there for this assignment. And I was like, okay, God, I'm done. The Sabbath is coming up. I'm close. I'm at the edge of the Sabbath. I'm not doing anything else. I shut it down. I had such a peace, and I was like, God, it's in your hand. The work wasn't posted because I didn't see anywhere where it's supposed to. So I'm like, if God answered my prayer where he pushed it back somewhat, right, because it wasn't there. It wasn't there for me to upload that particular one. And if that is God's will, I'm good with it. If it's not that, the fact that, oh, he's going to mark me down or whatever, I'm okay with that. I am at peace knowing that Amen. I have entered into the Sabbath with my Heavenly Father. So I just thank God for his faithfulness. I thank God for the fact that he's always, even when I am unfaithful to him, he's faithful to me. And so I ask you all to continue to pray for me. I'm going to ask you, request prayer for one of my church mom, Sister Brenda Jones. She is almost 90, and she's getting rebaptized tomorrow. And so they said that she was baptized at age 9, and God has brought her through so many different journeys, so many different ailments. She was left for dead several times, and God revived this woman. And so she wants to rededicate her life to God tomorrow. And so I'm praying. Mm-hmm. I have not been to this church for a minute. It's my church, but I haven't been there for a minute. So I pray that the Spirit of God will just move and all things will be done in decency and in order. And just God will continue to keep Sister Brenda Jones, a faithful, faithful woman of God. Amen. So lift her up and her family in prayer as well. And continue to keep us in your prayers as well. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Carla, for opening up my life.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Stephanie, for sharing that. God is so good. He even before we ask, he knows what we need of. And I just thank you for knowing that, you know, you have done your best and, you know, you have prayed about it and God will see you through, you know. And it is such a blessing to know, you know, the Lord is soon to come and we have to get the Sabbath rest right. We have to get into the Sabbath rest. We have to cease from our own work and do his will and be prepared even before the Sabbath hours. Just be prepared, sitting there waiting for him. And this is going to show us as his soon coming how prepared we're going to be, you know, that it will not catch us as a thief, you know, that we will be prepared knowing that he's coming and we have done all. We afflict our soul. We had asked for forgiveness. We're sharing the gospel. We're doing his will, not our will, but his will be done in our life. Amen. So hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to the next caller again. Good evening. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. 518-650. Your line is now open. Thank you for joining us.
Happy Sabbath. Good evening. Thank you for opening my line. God is a good God. We must trust him with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways, we must acknowledge him because he will direct our path. When we have our problem, don't let the problem take hold of us. Just leave it to God and let him take care of it. I sing a song?
Yes. Sister Barnaby, yes, thank you.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver. Makes all my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. How the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me. Over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Oh, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, we come before you this evening. Nothing in our hands we bring, but simple to you we come. Lord, you know we are unworthy, we are unholy, we are undone, we are nothing good. But, oh God, because of your grace and your mercy, we are not consumed, dear God, because your compassion fail not. It is due every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lord, when we have our problems, when we have our trials, when we have our problems, oh God, all we have to do, Lord, is leave it at the foot of the cross. You will take care of it. You are a God who never fail. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So For God, we just give everything to you this evening. Lord, all of us on the line, Lord, you see us, you know us, you understand us, and you know our problems, you know our trials, you know our troubles. Oh, God, please, Lord, intervene and take over, Lord. Anoint us, purify us, cleanse us, mold us and fashion us into your likeness, Lord. Make us to be what you want us to be. Oh, God, you hear Sister Stephanie, Sister Carla, and all of us on the line, dear God, we love you and we adore you. All we have to do is talk to you and call upon you and cry to you, God, because there's no heartache. There's no problem you cannot solve, oh God, and there's no heartache you cannot heal. So, Father, we come before you this evening. We need special anointing. Oh, God, I put Sister Pauline into your hand, oh, God, with our eye. I'm asking you, dear God, to do the healing, Lord, because you are the greatest healer. You are the sympathizing Jesus. You wish above all things that all of us should prosper and be in good health, oh, God. And you wish that all of us should come to repentance because you want us to be with you in your kingdom. So, Lord Jesus, help us, oh, God, to be faithful, to walk where you walk, to talk where as you talk, and to do what you do. Oh, God, have mercy upon us according to your loving kindness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercy, oh, God, blot out our transgressions. Wash us and cleanse us and heal us, oh, God, mold us and fashion us. Make us into what you want us to be. Lord, you see our children, you see our grandchildren, you see our brothers and our sisters. You see our neighbors and our friends, oh God. You see our co-worker. Lord, you see each and every one that we come to, oh God, that have life this evening. Lord, I'm asking you to touch. All over the world in diverse places, be with every mother, every father, every child. Lord, there are plenty who are crying. There are plenty who are hungry, oh God. There are plenty who are naked. There are plenty who need healing. And there are plenty who need place to live. Heavenly Father, reach out your hand and touch, oh God, because you are the greatest. You are the greatest God. There is nothing too hard for you, and there is nothing you cannot do. So, Heavenly Father, please take over this evening. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, Father, yes, be with the speaker as the speaker speak. Let the speaker not be seen, but let every word that he speak come from your throne. Heavenly Father, have your way. Have your way, Lord, and let everything be done to your name, to your honor, to your glory. Thank you for hearing. Lord. Thank you for answering. Thank you for what you have done, what you're doing now, and what you continue to do. I pray and I give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for that song and for that prayer. I must tell Jesus all of my problems. And Sister Katie texted me today asking us to keep, this evening, just a while ago, asking us to keep her grandchildren in prayer. You know, herself, her son, and Hakeem and Shamar in prayer. One is autistic and one has asthma. And, you know, when we go into prayer, may we lift up Sister Katie and her grandchildren and her family as whole, and each and every one of us, we all need to keep each other in prayer. That was a beautiful song, Sister Barnaby. Thank you again and for the heartfelt prayer. God is waiting on us to come before him with a renewed heart, a mind to serve him and to petition our requests. So I'll go to the next caller. We just have a few more minutes. I believe this is Brother Eli. Please be brief because I'm gonna have Sister Powell do the prayer. 857-505. Your line is now open. Thank you.
Hello, Sister Carla. Hello, my beloved. How we do, beloved? God is good. He's worthy. Amen. He's worthy to be praised, my beloved. I like to thank God for his love and his mercy because God is good. He's a merciful God. He's an awesome God. Oh, Sister Carla, today's the day how the Lord has made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Sister Power and Sister Carla, today is the day that the Lord has made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it, my brothers and sisters. Sister Carla, I have a prayer request. My prayer request was to lift up my mother in prayer. Please lift up my mother in prayer. And Sister Carla, I'm asking for Sister Powers to please lift up Brother Javel in prayer. I leave him in God's hands, Sister Powers.
Amen.
Sister Powers, please lift up Brother Javel in prayer because he needs a lot of prayer. And Sister Powers, please lift up Brother Shaq to in prayer. Sister Carla, can you spell Brother Shaq? Let me spell it for
yes,
you before Sister
Powell.
Yeah, Brother Shaq is S-H-A-Q. So he have a new job. So lift up Brother Shaq in prayer. I'm asking for Sister Powell to lift up Brother Shaq in prayer. A special prayer for him. And pray for Brother Javel too. He needs a lot of prayer.
Okay.
He needs to get baptized. Brother Javel needs to get baptized
brother.
In the name of the Lord. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line.
Thank you, Brother Eli. We all need lots of prayer. And, you know, when it comes to baptism and different things, we have to petition the throne of God on the behalf of those individuals. And they have to make the decision themselves. And they have to know that they're in right standing with the Lord and an inward show outwardly, you know, that they want to be baptized and surrender all to God. So we just need to pray for them. We can't tell others what to do. Only God knows in due time, you know, what will happen and how those individuals will be converted and changed and surrendered to God. So thank you again, Brother Eli. It's always good to hear you in the prayer line. And may the Lord continue to bless you and your family also. I'll go to the last line, Sister Powell, happy Sabbath, 518-951. Your line is open. And if after your testimony, you're sharing, can you please give us the prayer? Amen. Can you check your line, Sister Powell? You might be muted. Can't hear you.
Hello. Hello. You hearing me now?
Amen. Yes, we can hear
okay.
you now.
Happy Sabbath, my dear beloved. Happy Sabbath to everyone. This is Sister Powell once more giving thanks and praise for the blessings that God have placed and for the healing power. So I just want to thank everyone on Advent Light for prayer because we know that prayer moves mountain and there is nothing too hard that God cannot do. Said in his word, and is my favorite, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all our diseases? I just want to thank God for these wonderful words, you know, of comfort, and also his promises that he has given unto me. So I just want to thank God. Thank God that everyone could come to join, sing, and to give praises and to bring honor to and glory to God. So Sister Powell is healing very good, no complaint. My God, hear our prayer and he answer our cry. Just share this little testimony of praise. Last Sunday, you know what? Even though I was sick, I was able to go and visit one of our dear brother in the nursing home, myself and my community granddaughter. She came for me and we went there. And my dear, for a sick brother lying on his bed of affliction, he was so joyful. When you look in his face, you know, you saw the brightness. And it reminds me when I read the story of Moses. When Moses was coming down after he got the Ten Commandments to go down to the people, and, you know, the people saw his face, you know, the Shekinah glory shine upon him. And this is how I said this younger man was, you know. We did not spend a long time, but he told me, even though he's on his bed, he had wrote, you know, one of Ellen G. writing, and this is from October 7, 1865, Prior Moose Mountain. And he got them, photocopy, and he has them on his desk, and he said, Sister Powell, you know what? I want this prior list to go out to the institution, to every patient. That's a sick man on his bed. You know, he want to go to the authority to ask permission for him to do that, you know. And I look and I say, boy, God is so good. You are still sick, but you're still on the mission field for God, both in your mind, and I know God is going to allow him to do it. And this is how it reads, my dear beloved, as we are going near in prayer. It says, prayer is the answer to every problem in life. It puts us in tune with divine wisdom, which know how to adjust everything perfectly. So often we do not pray in certain situations because from our standpoint, the outlook is helpless, but nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is so entangled that it cannot be remedied. No human relationship is too strained for God to bring about reconciliation and understanding. No habit so deep-rooted that it cannot be overcome. No one is so weak that he cannot be strong. No one is so ill that he cannot be ill. And this is what me went to us through a surgery. Lord, I'm telling you, and it's a technical surgery. But you know what? Our dear, loving, great physician was there right through. And now I can say, thank you, Jesus. I am healed. No mind is so dull that it cannot be made brilliant. Whatever we need, if we trust God, he will supply it. And if anything is causing worry this evening or anxiety, let us stop rehearsing the difficulty and bring trust God for healing, love, and power. What a beautiful, it is so beautiful. The word is so uplifting because we only can trust God. In anything we do, we can have that faith, trust, believe, right? Have faith, trust, and believe that God is able. So one day, my dear beloved, all these things that is happening on this earth, all the sickness, the pain, the ache, the trials, the earthquake, the famine, the flood, you know, disobedient to children, Lord, all these things is going to come to an end. But we know if we trust God, has he promised that, you know, sanctification come when sanctification come within us, we give up the whole being to God. Everything is for God. And that is what the Lord wants to do, cover us with the robe of righteousness in Christ, sanctify ourselves so that we will know that we trust God. Despite of all things, we have that faith and belief that he will carry us to. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we, your children, come before you this moment. Thank you for this setting. Thank you for the opportunity that you have given unto us. Lord, we know we come here daily, minutely, and hour to present ourselves to you. And Lord, we would like our prayer to be answered. So we ask you to search each one of us this night, our heart, our mind, our soul. And if there is anything within us that should not be, we ask you to remove it. We ask you, Lord, pour your Holy Spirit upon each one so that our prayer will be, as it reaches to you in the most holy sanctuary, you will let your will be done. Heavenly Father, we are here today, Lord, in which when I heard Sister Carla spoke about our dear sister, dear father, and her grandchildren and her son, Lord, we prayed last night for her. She came up to me, Lord, just like I was there seeing her. Father. And as I place Sister Katie to you tonight, Lord, a woman, Lord, who trusts you, a woman, dear Lord, who know and she saw the miracle that you have worked with her dear beloved grandson, those two babies, Lord. You have kept them in your hands. You have strengthened them, Lord. Whatsoever the sickness is, you are there with them, and they are still here. Maybe not feeling well, but, dear Lord, we know we have a loving, great physician tonight who we place those wonderful jewels that you have loaned, Sister Katie, and loan us as grandchildren, Lord, here to you. And we are asking you, Lord, let your will be done. Dominique and his wife, we present them to you. You know everything, dear Lord. Allow them to come closer and draw nearer and nearer to you, dear Lord. And as we pray for those wonderful children, Father, we know that you can do all things. As we heard, that there is nothing too hard that our Father cannot do, only trust we have to trust. We present Brother Eli to you, Father. Give him peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. As he ministers, Lord, to Javel and Brother Shark and all his other friends, his mother, Lord Jesus, help him to have faith that you alone can do it. Lord, choice, every one of us have a choice, free choice, and God gave us the choice to make. So, Lord, this evening we present those names to you, and we are asking you, Lord, to touch and let your will be done. Father, we thank you for Sister Carla who's host tonight, and Lord, thank you for traveling mercies to other in the vineyard, Lord, and the work, Lord, that you have allowed her to do. We thank you for carrying her through, dear Lord, and also, Lord, to allow her that the light that you have given unto her, that she has passed it up at work and whosoever she come contact with. We want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for the reading from Sister Leola and the safe traveling mercies for her, Lord, and also the illness too. She wasn't feeling well. A great physician touched her body. So we thank you for her healing process. Sister Brenda and Brother John, Lord, we lift them up to you, Lord, and we know you have been using them, Sister Barnaby, Lord, you know, with her songs and her song and her praying for each one, Lord, and your protection towards her to and fro from work, Lord. We want to thank you, Sister Stephanie, praise report for the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, despite of the body is tired. Lord, you alone could do it. As we ask for wisdom and knowledge and understanding, so we want to thank you for what you have done for her. Father, you know everything about each one of us, Sister Consinelli. We ask you to lift her, Brother Ray. Lord, we ask you, Brother Rick, Lord, and every one of us, Brother Anil, Lord, we praise to your Richardson and his family. We lift them up. And Lord, you know, we come this Sabbath day. Thank you for this gathering, this little group, Lord. And this little group are determined, dear Lord, to follow you. So we ask you, Lord, to keep us together, bind us together with the cords of love, that we this bond will never be broken. Lord, we lift up Brother Ricardo, dear Lord, one of our dear speakers. We lift up Akin James, Lord. We lift him up, Lord, and all the others. And we are our Brother Eugene tonight, dear Lord. We thank you, Father, because we know you are the one who are allowing your servant, Lord, to come on this life to present your truth to us, Lord. So we just want to thank you. So bless each one of us as a family, Lord, this evening. And lift up, Lord, all our young people, Lord, our children, our grandchildren, community, church, our blood family. We lift them up to you. And tonight, dear fathers, we gathered at your welcome table to listen for the fresh bread from heaven tonight. We ask you to pour the Holy Spirit within us, that we will be in tune with you, Lord, and that we will be blessed, Lord, and we will have the reflection, Lord, of you. Keep us, Lord, perfect. Just as you said, you are perfect, and we can be perfect as a peculiar people, Lord, and heading, Lord, to the second coming of Christ. We are preparing, we are getting ourselves ready, that whatsoever come, dear Lord, we will be with you. Bless each one, those from the Netherlands who are listening, those from Canada, those from Louisiana, those from Tennessee, those from Albany, New York, and all Jamaica and all over the island. We present them to you, Lord. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Powell, for that prayer, and thank you for sharing also that prayer that the gentleman had on his wall. And brothers and sisters, may we continue to pray for each other, our family, our friends, our neighbors, and each and everyone we come in contact with day after day. And just before Brother Eugene comes on, I will open this line for my dear sister Ruthie. I had invited her on, and she just wanted to share quickly. I believe this is her first time. I'm not sure if it's her second time, but in a long time. Just want to open Sister Ruthie's line. Your line is now open. Please be brief. Amen. Four eight three two zero six. Your line is open. You might be on mute. Here. Sister Ruthie, your line is now open. Check, see if you're on mute. Okay. I cannot hear her. So she'll have to share her testimony maybe another time. But again, I just want to welcome each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. Happy Sabbath to you and your family. I see a lot of our brothers and sisters is on, and also those in, Japan, South Korea, the Netherlands, also, as Sister Powell said, in Jamaica, and throughout the United States. We just want to welcome you and happy Sabbath. It's a blessing to have each and every one of you on this evening, and I thank Brother Udi and his family, Sister Melissa. We let us keep them in prayer. And I just want to thank Brother Eugene for taking time out of his busy schedule with his wife and his precious newborn son. We just want to congratulate you and welcome you this evening to present. Your line is now open, Brother Eugene.
All right. Good evening and blessed Sabbath, church family. I want to say thank you again for the Advent Line Prayer Ministry for giving me the extended invitation to share the Lord's message for this evening. And I pray that you all had a blessed week by God's amazing grace. And also thank you again, Sister Carla. Yes, I did have a newborn. And I'm very thankful. Changed my life. It's been remarkable. And I thank the Lord for that. So what we're going to do is we are going to get into the Word. And I want to start with a word of prayer. So let us begin. Our Father in heaven, we want to say thank you again for Sister Powell as she led out in the prayer session. And I want to add my petition too, that each and every one of us can have a token of what you want to know for this evening. Help us to see that it's not what a man says, it's what Christ says. Help us also to be open to the illumination of the Holy Spirit as it speaks to our minds. Thank you for Calvary and what Christ did for us. Thank you also for the holy angels that constantly do the work of ministry concerning our protection and our guidance. And also, Lord, lastly, thank you for loving us. And be with us as we go into the study this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So, this evening, our message is entitled Time Setting. I want to read for you a statement taken from the book Great Controversy. And notice what it says, the book Great Controversy, and this is page Great Controversy, the chapter is entitled The Snares of Satan. And this is taken from page 518, paragraph 1. And notice what the prophet says. The great controversy between Christ and Satan that has been carried forward for nearly 6,000 years is soon to close. And the wicked one redoubles his efforts to defeat the work of Christ in man's behalf and to fasten souls in his snares, to hold the people in darkness and impenitence till the Savior's mediation is ended. And there is no longer a sacrifice for sin, and is the subject or the object which he seeks to accomplish. So in other words, according to what we just read in Great Controversy, page 518, the prophet makes it very clear, very, very clear, that the great controversy between Christ and Satan has been going on for nearly 6,000 years. And because this controversy has been going on, we know that the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12, reading from verse 11, the Bible tells us very clearly, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Verse 12, and therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and he that dwelleth in them, that's referring to the angels and all the hosts who are there, but woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. 6,000 years, and the work is soon to come to a close, is a short time. The time that Jesus died was A.D. 31 of the spring. And according to John, according to the Apostle John, time was almost finished with Satan. In fact, he knew he had a short time. Now, we personally do not know when sin came into existence concerning the apostasy of Satan. It could have been 10,000 years. It could have been 7,000 years. We do not know. However, what we do know, according to inspiration, is that there was a time period. Notice this, there was a time period in the life of Lucifer before he became Satan that once he committed sin, he repented of that sin. Inspiration speaks about that. I repeat, there was a moment in the life of Satan where there was a point where he repented of that sin. And I want to read that for you in the book Early Writings, page 145. Notice, the book Early Writings, page 145, paragraph 1. It reads, Satan was once an honored angel in heaven, next to Christ. His countenance, like those of other angels, was mild and expressive of happiness. His forehead was high and broad, showing great intelligence. His form was perfect, his bearing noble, majestic. But when God said to his son, let us make man in our image, Satan was jealous of Jesus. And I want to pause right here. So in other words, there was a moment when Lucifer was perfect, he was holy, but when the words was spoken from the Father, when he said to the Son, Let us make man in our image. The jealousy of Satan began. It continues, and he wished to be consulted concerning the formation of man, because he was not. He was filled with envy, jealousy, and hatred. He desired to receive the highest honors in heaven next to God. And notice what it says in paragraph 2. Until this time, all heaven had been in order, harmony, and perfect subjection to the government of God. It was the highest sin to rebel against his order and will. All heaven seemed in commotion. The angels were marshaled in companies, each division with a higher commanding angel at its head. Satan, ambitious to exalt himself and unwilling to submit to the authority of Jesus, was insinuating against the government of God. Some of the angels sympathized with Satan in his rebellion. Others strongly contended for the honor and wisdom of God in giving authority to his son. There was contention among the angels. Satan and his sympathizers were striving to reform the government of God. They wished to look into unsearchable wisdom and ascertain his purpose in exalting Jesus and endowing him with such unlimited power and command. They rebelled against the authority of the Son. And all the heavenly hosts were summoned to appear before the Father to have each case decided. It was there determined that Satan should be expelled from heaven and with all the angels who had joined him in the rebellion. Then there was war in heaven. Angels were engaged in the battle. Satan wished to conquer the Son of God and those who were submissive to his will. But the good and true angels rebelled or prevailed, and Satan with his followers were driven out of heaven. Now, I want you to understand what led to this apostasy and what started. Number one, inspiration tells us very clearly that Satan was jealous over because Jesus had the right to be part of the formation of men. Now, before looking at all this, and I want us to look at, and we're answering the question, time is almost finished. The devil has but a short time. This is in Patriarchs and Prophets. Notice what it says in Patriarchs and Prophets. And notice what it says starting in verse 30, page 35, Patriarchs and Prophets, page 35. Now the harmony of heaven. Now the harmony in heaven was broken, and Lucifer's dispositions to serve himself instead of the Creator aroused a feeling of apprehension when observed by those who consider that the glory of God should be supreme. In the heavenly councils, the angels pleaded with Lucifer. The Son of God presented before him the greatness, the goodness, and the justice of the Creator, the sacred, unchanging nature of the law. God himself had established the order of heaven, and in departing from it, Lucifer would dishonor his Maker and bring ruin upon himself. But the warning given in infinite love and mercy only aroused a spirit of resistance. Lucifer allowed his jealousy of Christ to prevail and became the more determined. Now, this is quite amazing, because I also want you to see what's interesting about this. And that is, inspiration tells us very clearly that Lucifer, interestingly enough, the Bible tells us that he wanted to be like the Most High. And if I were to ask you the question, who is the Most High? I want us to turn to our Bibles, to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 5. Notice. The book of Mark, chapter 5. Notice what it says in Mark, chapter 5. Read it from verse 7. If you remember what... when Jesus was casting out the demons out of the demoniac, the Bible makes it very clear, 5 verse 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What I have to do with thee, Jesus," this is the devil speaking, "the Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Let's pause right here. The demons in confrontation with Jesus Christ, said very clearly to him, what do we have to do with you? Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. The Most High God, in this context, is referring to the Father. The Son of the Most High God is Jesus Christ. So when Lucifer in Isaiah chapter 14 said very clearly in verse 14 that I will be like the Most High, it's very clear that the controversy that started in heaven was not before the Father and Lucifer. It started between Christ and Satan. And furthermore, notice what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 10. Let's go there real quickly. The book of Romans chapter 10. In the book of Romans chapter 10, notice what the Apostle Paul says, starting in verse 6. Romans 10 and verse 6. And the words are clear, and it reads, but the righteousness which is of the faith, speaking on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. So according to the Bible, if you say within your heart, who shall ascend to the heaven, or in other words, I will ascend to the heavens, that is to bring Jesus Christ down from above. In other words, Lucifer in his heart wanted to dethrone the authority and position of Christ. Because there's only one person that can share the throne with the Father, and that is the Son. And this is the reason why Jesus said very clearly, notice in Revelation chapter 3, notice what the Bible says, the book of Revelation, the 3, reading from verses 21, and it says, and to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. So Jesus Christ, as the Bible says in Hebrews 8, verse 1, he was seated at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. Jesus was seated at the right hand of the throne of God, or the Most High. And Lucifer wanted to be at that seat. He wanted that position, that honor, thy majesty, the authority to be able to exercise the power of divinity. But divinity does not belong to him because he is the creature and he's mortal. The only one who is immortal is God himself. And the Father is God and Christ is God. In fact, if you don't know, the term God in the Hebrew is Elohim. Now, Elohim is a plural, but the singular form for Elohim is El Olaf, which means divinity or deity. Now, in the plural, Elohim, it means magistrates or judges or divine forces, according to the Strong Concordance. So in other words, Lucifer is not a deity. Lucifer is a creature. Lucifer, now, the Bible is very clear as well that the Apostle Paul does acknowledge Lucifer as the God of this world, yes, because the term God also is a title. That's a title. God is not the Father's name or Christ. That's only a title. But there's only one true God. There's only the gods of this world. They are false. We know this. This is simple, elementary. But Lucifer wanted the prerogatives of God. Lucifer wanted the position of God, but he's not divine. He's not a created being. He did not have this before life came into existence. And because he saw that the Son shared the throne with the Father, jealousy arose. Now, I want us to go back And we know the story that war broke out in heaven. And because war broke out in heaven, Lucifer himself wanted, he wanted revenge. He wanted to be able to not only destroy Christ, but to destroy his people. And the only way for him to stop Jesus from coming back, he has to put the church under deep apostasy, just as he did with the days of Israel. If the Seventh-day Adventist church, God's remnant church of Bible prophecy, can be in deep apostasy, that they can forget the three angels' message, forget righteousness by faith, forget the sanctuary message, forget the health message, Lord, and forget everything that God gave to us in his great wisdom, our institutions, our sanitariums, the list goes on. The Satan can extend his death sentence on being on death row. Satan can prevent Jesus from coming back. That's what he wants. In 2023, the clock is ticking. Why? Because he knows he has but a short time. The Bible tells us very clearly that there is a day that's going to come where we will be in heaven for approximately 6,000, in fact, 1,000 years, the 1,000 millennia. Now, we are on this earth for approximately 6,000. Now, I want to share with you, the title of our message is entitled Time Setting. Time Setting. I want to read for you another statement. Notice what it says. This is taken from the book. Notice what it says. This is taken from the book Great Controversy, page 522. Thus, under the new guise, the great rebel, Satan, still carries on his warfare against God, begun in heaven for nearly 6,000 years, continued upon the earth. So now I want to pause right there. Now, earlier, the question was asked, how long was this apostasy for? Now, we said some people may say it's a million years. Others may say 10,000. We don't know. But according to Great Controversy, she makes it very clear on page 552 that this warfare started from heaven and has been going on for nearly 6,000 years. So in other words, this thin concept literally is almost and approximately 6,000 years. That's basically what she's saying. So the moment Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, that was also the time when God immediately said, let us make man in our own image. In fact, I want to go back to early writings, page 146. Early writings, page 146. And it reads, after Satan and those who fell with him were shut out of heaven, he realized that he had forever lost all his purity and glory. He repented and wished to be reinstated in heaven. He was willing to take his proper place or any position that might be assigned him. But no, heaven must not be placed in jeopardy. All heaven might be marred should he be taken back, for sin originated with him, and the seeds of rebellion were within him. But he and his followers wept and implored to be taken back into the favor of God. But their sin, their hatred, their envy, and jealousy had been so great that God could not blot it out. It must remain to receive its final punishment. And when Satan became fully conscious that there was no possibility of his being brought back into the favor of God, his malice and hatred began to be manifest. He consulted with his, and a plan was laid, still worked against God's government. when Adam and Eve were placed in the beautiful garden, Satan was laying plans to destroy it. Now, notice this. Inspiration tells us very clearly that Satan himself was laying plans not only to overthrow the government of God, but try to overcome and overthrow the existence of mankind through sin. I want to read another statement taken from our spiritual gifts. Notice this. This is taken from spiritual gifts. And in spiritual gifts, I want us to see what she has to say in this. Spiritual gifts, volume 1. Notice what it says. Volume 1, page 17. Spiritual gifts, volume 1, page 17, paragraph 1. The Lord has shown me that Satan was once an honored angel in heaven, next to Christ Jesus. His countenance was mild, expressive of happiness like all other angels. His forehead was high and broad and showed a great intelligence. His form was perfect. He had a noble, majestic bearing. And when God said to his son, "Let us make man in our image," Satan was jealous. And it goes even further, and it says very clearly on page 20, "I saw that the holy angels often visited the garden and gave instructions to Adam and Eve concerning their employment, and also taught them concerning the rebellion of Satan and his fall. The angels were warned. They warned them of Satan and cautioned them not to separate from each other in their employment, for they might be brought into contact with his fellow foe. The angels enjoined upon them to closely follow the direction of God had given them, for perfect obedience were their safety. However, Satan commenced his work with Eve to cause her to disobey, and she erred in wandering from her husband, next, and in lingering around the forbidden tree, next, in following the voice of the tempter, even daring to doubt that God had said, 'In the day that thou shalt eatest, thou shalt surely die.' She thought perhaps it does not mean just as the Lord said. She ventured to disobey. She put forth her hand, took the fruit, and ate it, pleasing to the eye and pleasant to the taste. She was jealous that God had withheld from them what was really for their good." I would repeat that. She was jealous that God had withheld from them that which was really their good. She offered the fruit to her husband, thereby tempting him, and she related to Adam all that the serpent had said and expressed her astonishment that he had the power of the speech. "I saw the sadness came over Adam's countenance. He appeared afraid and astonished, and a struggle appeared to be going on in his mind. He felt sure that that was the foe which they had been warned against, and that his wife must die. They must be separated. His love for Eve was strong. In utter discouragement, he resolved to share her fate. He seized the fruit and quickly ate it. Then Satan exulted. He had rebelled in heaven and had sympathizers who loved him and followed him in his rebellion. He fell and caused others to fall with him, and he had now tempted the woman to distrust God and inquire into his wisdom and to seek to penetrate all wise plans. And Satan knew that the woman would not fall alone. Adam, through his love for Eve, disobeyed the command of God and fell with her." Very sad. But this is the condition, not only with Adam and Eve, but also the history of the world. My brothers and my sisters, the Bible tells us very clearly that if any man worships the beast in his image and receives the mark in his forehead or in his hands, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstones in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 to 12. The same warning that God gave to Adam and Eve, the day you eat of it, you will surely die. There was a lamb that was slain that day on their behalf. Jesus, in dying for the sins of the world, or being slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13, verse 8, that same promise will not be given for us at the second commencement, given the last warning, the last message of warning to the world, that if any man worships the beast in his image, they will definitely receive the wrath of God. God extended his mercy and grace in Eden. But my friends, when probation closed, there's no turning back. But I want to share something with you, that something happened on that day. And on that day, the book Desire of Ages tells us something. In Desire of Ages, notice what it says, page 759, paragraph 3. Desire of Ages 759, paragraph 3, it reads, Satan led men into sin, and the plan of redemption was put in operation. Let's pause right there. She says this, that the moment Satan led men into sin, the plan of redemption was put in operation. In other words, the plan of redemption that involved Christ dying for the world, Christ also being a high priest to intercede on man's behalf, Christ cleansing the sanctuary, that plan was put in operation the moment sin appeared, the moment sin came into existence. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible makes it very clear that for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with the corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received from the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that was manifest in these last days. So before the foundation of the world, the foundation is the start, the beginning, the introduction. Before the existence of this world, the Lamb of God was destined to die for man if man would sin. And this tells us that the plan of redemption was there prior to the existence of sin. God is not like you and I. He makes up a plan once there's a problem. No, God always has backup plan. Famous quote says, God has a thousand ways to provide for us which we know not. God had many ways to provide for us before sin came. But there was only one way that he could have saved us genuinely and truly. And that was the plan of having his son to die for us. In dying for us, the world will be convinced that God genuinely loves us, that he gave up one of the most sacred and precious gifts that he valued above all else, and that was his beloved son. But my friends, I want to continue reading in Desire of Ages, page 759, paragraph 3. It says, Satan led men into sin, and the plan of redemption was put in operation. For 4,000 years, Christ was working in man's uplifting and Satan for his ruin and degradation, and the heavenly universe beheld it. Desire of Ages, page 652, it reads, Christ was standing at the point of transition between two economies and their two great festivals. He, the spotless Lamb of God, was about to present himself as a sin offering that he would thus bring into the end of the system of types and ceremonies that for 4,000 years have pointed to his death. So approximately 4,000 years, when Jesus died, he put an end to the sacrificial system. Great Controversy, page 327. It reads, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, referring to Daniel chapter 9, reading from verse 25. In A.D. 31, 3.5 years after his baptism, our Lord was crucified. With the great sacrifice offered upon Calvary, ended that system of offering for which for 4,000 years have pointed forward to the Lamb of God. So according to what we were reading so far, in summary, number one, the controversy between Christ and Satan was going on for 6,000 years. Number two, this controversy started when heaven, when Lucifer started forming areas of jealousy in his heart over Christ. Number three, when they were kicked out of heaven, a plan was devised to create mankind, and Lucifer himself wanted to overthrow them through sin. And four, Lucifer led Adam and Eve to sin. But number five, a plan was put in place to save them before sin came into the picture. And as a result, the plan of redemption was put in place when man sinned in the garden. So when the plan was put in place to save man in the garden, this tells us that the clock began to tick when the plan of redemption was brought to effect. The clock will stop ticking. The point when Jesus' ministry in heaven has come to an end. What am I saying? What I am saying is that the time that sin came into existence in this world, from the time that sin will come to an end when the sanctuary ministry is over, it would have been 6,000 years that sin was on planet Earth. Now, the caveat to this is that if you and I, the hour, the month, and I would say possibly the year, we would know exactly the timing of when Jesus would come back. Because the Bible tells us very clearly that the final generation, according to Revelation chapters 18, that's going to hear the loud cry message. The final generation that's going to live to see the last plagues, Revelation chapter 16. The final generation that's going to hear the voice of God under the seventh plague. The final generation that's going to be there at the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 5. They're going to be delivered. They're going to be translated. That is a generation that's going to live to see Jesus. That is a time when Christ is going to come, put an end to sin by cleansing the sanctuary. Because the sanctuary received its first record of sin when Eve ate from the forbidden tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that record of sin will stay on record in heaven when 6,000 years of the record of sin have been on this planet Earth. And then Christ will come to rescue his saints. So when we see mankind, listen, when we see brethren among us telling us that Jesus is coming in 2023, that's what I heard 3 years ago. 2023 is almost over. No names. Brethren telling us 2024. I heard that almost a decade ago. It's almost there. It's possible. Others are saying 2025, 2027, 2030, 2031, or 2034. want to read the statement for you on Last Day Events, page 34, paragraph 2. As I come to a close, a few more. Notice what it says. God gives no man a message that it will be 5 years or 10 years or 20 years before this earth's history shall close. He who would not give any living being an excuse for delaying the preparation for his appearing, he would have no one say, as did the unfaithful servant, my Lord delays his coming, for this leads to reckless neglect of the opportunities and privileges given to prepare us for that great day. Selected Messages, Book 1, page 191, paragraph 1. God has not revealed to us the time when this message will close or when probation will have an end. And those who that are revealed, we shall accept for ourselves and for our children. But let us not seek to know that which have been kept secret in the counsels of the Almighty. Satan will be ready to give to anyone who is not learning every day of Jesus a special message of his creating in order to make no effect the wonderful truth for this time. Selected Messages, Book 1, page 191, paragraph 2. Letters have come to me asking me if I have any special light at the time when probation will close. And I answer that I have only this message to bear, and that is now the time is to work while the day lasts, for the night cometh when no man can work. But there is no command for anyone to search the scriptures in order to ascertain, if possible, when probation will close. God has no such message for any mortal lips, and he would have no mortal tongue declare that which he has hidden in his secret counsels. And I'm curious, who is part of that secret counsel with God? Should I say the Son? Oh, you better believe it. I believe that Jesus will come very soon. I believe that it could be 2027, maybe 2031. But if I'm wrong, so be it. He could come in 2040 or 2050. We don't know. It's always best to be in a state of preparation. My wife and I, we live in a country. We're growing food. We have an apple tree. Our nearest neighbors, there's only one neighbor we can see. The others, you need the binoculars. We're out in the country. Church members come by and realize, oh, you know, the pastor's out here. Wow, he believes in this message. And I tell him, yes, I do. And guess what? Let's say if Jesus doesn't come back in 2 or 3 years or 4 years, at least I was in the mindset of preparation. But let us not delay as the antediluvians delayed in the days of Noah. Let us not mock the messengers as the sons, the son-in-law, in fact, the sons of Lot's sons-in-laws, they mocked them. Let us not be like those scoffers in the last days, according to 2 Peter. But let us always be in a state of preparation, because we know not the hour when the Master will be coming. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to say thank you again so much. For truly, time is almost finished. Truly, the powers that be are making concessions with the man of sin to bring about Satan's last assault against your people. Yes, Father, we know that time is against us. Forgive us if we've been delaying. Forgive us if we've not done the work of preparation and getting involved in medical missionary work, getting involved in preparation of the home, getting involved in understanding the message of righteousness by faith given to Wagner and Jones. Forgive us if we have not done the preparation according to the third angel's message. Embrace us and help us, we ask. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Eugene. Thank you for that message, that timely message. And I pray that my brothers and sisters was blessed also by the message. And that you are able to write down these passages so that you can go back like the Bereans and read it and also share it, because what we learn is not only for ourselves but for our friends and family and those that we come in contact with. And Third John 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." So let us stand firm on the word of God, and that we be not moved or shaken from the word of God and from his commandment that he has given us. So again, blessed Sabbath to each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. Please join us again next Friday, next preparation day at the same time. And also Sunday, it's last day event. And on Thursday, we have Health Reform Thursday. God bless you. Jesus loves you, and he's soon to come. So let us be prepared. Amen. Have a good night.